Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, skid marks the spot.
I was looking for tractors and saw someone getting plowed.
Smell my sardine fingers.
Scott does math.
Red robins in cardinal directions.
No offense to any Jeffs.
Racist, but good racist.
Mickey Mouse is not a Smurf.
Don't trust Jeff's Bulgarian restaurant.
Mummified.
There's a machete in the other wall.
A gangly weirdo.
Do you want to be after Kanye?
Bill and the Circle of Props.
Boring Uber drivers and earning one-star reviews with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You will become limp and loose as if you were made from a handful of loose rubber bands. So, who here would like to be hypnotized? Put your hand up. Great. How about you, pretty lady?
Sleep!
Way down. I want you at home and all of you here in our studio audience to say the words, I am a hypnotist. Say it again, louder this time. I am a hypnotist. Until we do meet again, remember to celebrate life.
A sardine is a little fish that smells like a finger.
The Morning Stream is part of a nutritious breakfast kids have grown to love. They're pretty good, I guess. Yeah, they're okay.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, do you see any of that Met Gala?
Thing? Didn't. I haven't even seen, like, Blake Lively wowed people with her amazing whatever. Yeah. Did not see. I didn't look at a single piece of news from that last night. And I'm usually really curious about. I don't really care what they wear. I care about, like, what defying the laws of physics, comfort, and being able to only have to take up one chair at the Met Gala.
Mm.
Or gala.
Gala. I don't know. I always say gala, but I don't know. I hate the word. It's a terrible word. Gala, it's bad either way.
The Met Gallagher.
That would be a place I would go.
That one just, it's a cartoon that draws itself, isn't it?
I know. I may as well not even worry about it. It'll just be drawn by the time I look at my iPad. But so that thing happened. And all I would say is Hollywood, they're weird about their cosplay. That's all I'll say.
They are, yes.
Yeah. A lot of stuff. Yeah. We're really, like, strange. Like, well, it's always a little weird, right? It's the whole point is it's meant to be, but whatever. What's her name, though? You just mentioned her. What's her name?
Blake Lively.
She was kind of cool. She had, so the theme was supposed to be Americana or something.
Okay.
And she had this dress that was colored. She twisted one way, it was the color of the Statue of Liberty when it was new. Which is peach mauve color.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when she swirled the other direction, it turned the green that it is today. And it had, like, patterns of, like, New York streets and stuff on her. It was actually pretty cool. So I will give her... Oh, Gilded Age. That's what it was. Gilded Age thing.
Gilded Age. Okay.
I'll give her props.
Billie Eilish. Yeah, now I see. Yeah, I totally see Blake Steele. Oh, that looks really good. She looks great.
Yeah, it was all right.
And then her. Her and Ryan Reynolds are the freaking king and queen of the prom. Should any of us make babies anymore? Should we just let them do it?
Yeah, but they walk in, and then right behind them is one of them there Kardashians and Pete Davidson looking like a freak show.
And even Pete Davidson, like, he's in a tux.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
look at him. He's a gangly weirdo. I am telling you something. He's signed a deal with the devil on a different planet, because that guy is as dorky as me and you. He's just a dork.
Yeah.
And but look at Mr. Hollywood Man. He's in all these movies with and whatnot.
Kate Beckinsale with Ariana Grande. Who else? Wasn't he with somebody else too? That was like,
I can't remember who else he was with.
But
I don't know. He's. How would you want to be? Would you really want to be after Kanye West? Do you know what I mean? I don't mean in a sexual way. I mean like
maybe
just,
not right after.
You know what I mean? I mean like in a pop culture sort of way. It just feels dangerous. I don't know why. It just seems like you're going to get so much.
Everybody's. I mean, well, I guess not. This doesn't always apply, but everybody's after somebody.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Wait, Alessandro, Michelle, and Jared Leto.
Oh, yeah, they dress the same.
Like, identically, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, for who knows why. And then there was another guy that everyone thought was Jared Leto, who was dressed as basically a broken slinky, is what it looked like.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Like that. He was able to go down the Met Gala stairs, but was he able to go up?
No, he couldn't go up.
Not even alone or in pairs.
No, but in the right hand, you could really do some wicked juggly stuff with him. He was pretty cool.
Wow, how beautiful is Tessa Thompson? Freaking Valkyrie and Westworld and
you sound like the red carpet guy. You should do the coverage on.
Should I do that? Yeah.
How beautiful is Tessa Thompson?
How freaking beautiful!
Just look at that dress, you guys. Look at before
coming
we go to commercial.
Down the stairs is Jared, how freaking handsome is Jared Leto? Everybody, look, it's two more people I don't recognize. Are you a Schwarzenegger or a Baldwin? Yeah. I don't even know.
The word is. So people.
Oh, there's the broken slinky, Frederick Robertson.
Oh, okay, yeah. Everyone thought it was Jared Leto for like the longest time, and then there was all these.
Yeah, he looks like designs I used to make on my Spirograph.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely looks like that. There was one guy that looked like a light bright. There was another guy that looked like a. The other guy looked like he just like fumbled through his mom's old like Hollywood clothes, you know, like up in the attic. Mom, can I go through this box? Sure, whatever. And then wore that. That's what that felt like. It's fine, but there were some people online that were so fiercely into this. I witnessed an argument about which was better this year and whatever this year was, and 2018, which I guess is considered
was,
like
was
the
that
bomb.
Considered to be the best year?
Yeah. So
well,
I don't know why.
Scott, you know, it makes sense because it's not like anything else happened yesterday that could cause arguments or discussion or controversy.
No,
or,
not at all. No bad faith arguments. No, nothing. You know, it's as if it's a quiet little, internet town.
Yeah,
right
yeah
now.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, nothing happening on this internet.
Yeah, nothing going on. Anyway, we're gonna have a good show today. I'm very excited.
Yes, we are.
I would like to start things, though, by registering a complaint. We went to the zoo the other day, as you know.
Yes.
And the zoo is lovely, you know, like zoos are. They're fine. Zoos are fine.
They're fine. Yes.
There's nothing, you know, crazy at the zoo. But
getting a chance to get up close with our animal friends.
Yep. And we had a listener I barely missed. He sent a picture of where we were just standing after we left there.
He sent several pictures of our backs.
Yeah, of our backs. And then somehow inside the car, which, you know, the trunk, the interior of my trunk. I don't understand. No, I don't know. I forgot his name, but whoever that was, I'm sad I didn't get to meet you. But anyway, we were at the zoo having a great time. The boys having a blast. That's the reason we went. Also because it was Carter's birthday and she wanted to go to the zoo for her birthday, even though she's freaking 25, quarter of a century old. So she's still into these things. And so we did that. And then we're like, all right, afterwards, Carter, you get to pick where we're going to go to lunch. And she says, I want to go to Red Robin. The reason she wanted to is because Taylor was craving Red Robin and Taylor is pregnant and Carter wanted to do what Taylor wanted. It was a very nice sisterly thing.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, it's very nice. And plus, you know, Red Robin's fine, whatever. Yeah. So we go to Red Robin. We find this one. Been there before. No big deal. Pull up, park, get out to the thing, get up to the front. There are going to be a total of 8 of us. So it's Nick, his girlfriend B, me, Kim, Carter, Taylor, Dylan, and Van. And so Van made 9, I guess. Wait, is that the right math? If I get that right? Hold on. Who am I missing? That's not 9. That's 6. Hold on. This is going to bug me.
All right. How many couples? You and Kim.
Me and Kim. Taylor and Dylan.
Taylor and Dylan.
Nick and B. Carter, Van. Okay, that's 8. That's close. It's 8 of them. Wait, 8? No, it had to be an odd number. No, because Van and Carter and... Anyway, it's 8.
Do you need a high chair?
I need the high chair right now. So anyway, we go into there. We go to the front thing. And the guy says, hi, how many? Just like they always ask.
Sure.
Yeah. And we said,
why 8. Do they always ask that?
We go 8. And he goes, sorry. And I was like, sorry, what? And he goes, sorry, but we can't do groups any larger than 4 right now. And we're like, okay. Oh, what's the matter? And he goes, we're short staffed today. And it's only at 4 o'clock, which is like, 5 hours from then. 4 o'clock, we'll have more here and then we'll be able to do more than 8 or more than 4. And I said, well, there's 8 of us. What if we came in separately as 2 groups of 4? Mm-hmm. Oh, I really hate to tell you this, but it's because he basically knew that we had 8 and wasn't going to let this happen, even though.
But he couldn't put you in 2 tables of 4?
That's the part that I'm irritated about. Like, I can't understand why they couldn't have done that. Like, what? I want to show some empathy here. I know that there's a labor shortage. I know this is a super first world problem. Look, I understand it's not that massive of a deal, but. I don't know why a place is even open if you don't have the people in there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just weird.
Well, that's I can understand. Like, not having enough servers, even if you go in there and say, oh, there's tons of tables available. Yeah, but there's probably not enough servers to fit all those tables.
And there were a ton of tables, like tons of them. So that made me think it was like him and another dude or something.
Yeah, it might be.
So so we didn't, we weren't rude or anything, but I was just annoyed because I was like, well, if we'd came in with 4 of us, it would have been fine. Oh, and then I'm sorry, the group that came after us had 5. They got a table.
Nope. Oh, no way, really?
Yeah, no problem. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, they waltzed in after, and I felt like turning to them going, good luck, they're only taking 4 and under. And then they took them. Anyway, that's my complaint. It's not a big deal.
I still don't understand why they couldn't have taken you as 2 separate groups of 4. It seems silly.
He seemed like majorly relieved that we didn't, A, pitch a fit, and 3, and 2, left, B, left. Like, the fact that we took off, it just seemed like he was relieved. Like, oh, phew. I don't have to deal with 8 more people or something. So he was clearly having a bad day. I don't want to, make assumptions. I'm mostly talking about those people I'm talking about the franchise, because this is now the second time I've been to a Red Robin where there was something weird going on. The last time I was in there meeting with a couple that wanted me to perform their wedding back in 2017, 2018, whatever it was. And I think I told you this story in the air, but they just left us. They never came and got an order. And when we finally said, hey, what's up? Oh, 14 people revolted today and left in protest. And
we had a mass robin exodus.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
The robins have left the nest.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on.
Is it that particular store, that particular location?
No, different location even.
Different locations,
right?
Yeah, we have 2 Red Robins that are almost equidistant from us.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 3, like... all in different, cardinal directions.
Yeah.
And depending on where we're going, we'll pick one of those. But all 3 of them have been really, really good to us. Now, there's other restaurants that I'm struggling right now to come up with them that we've gone to in the same area that are like horrendous. I mean, it is a crapshoot. And sometimes you pick them on a good day. Sometimes you pick them on a bad day. But it sounds like you've been picking bad Red Robins on bad days.
Yeah. Plus, I guess it's not it's always a chain. I never have these problems when it's not a chain. I mean, I know no one's perfect, but it seems like little mom and pop places just don't have this problem. And now, here's a racist side of Scott. You guys ready for this? This is a racist thing I do, even though I don't think it's bad racist, but I think it's still it's still a little racist. I'm about to tell you a weird thing. Okay, here we go.
Okay, all right. Okay. Oh, geez.
When I walk into a restaurant that is run by, like, I like this pho and banh mi place up the street.
Sure.
And it's run by an entirely family-owned Vietnamese family.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not, not super English speakers or any of that. A lot of broken English, that sort of thing. The minute I walk in there and see that they're all from Vietnam, hear all their accents, hear the broken English, I immediately feel like I'm in the best possible hands at that place. Because I know And it's hard to explain. I just really like the work ethic and the... I know how hard they're working, and I know how much they want to please everybody, and I know how much they want to do a good job. It's totally me going, oh, an Asian-owned restaurant with a bunch of Asians, sweet, we're good, everybody. I know that's a little weird, right?
No, but all right. So I don't think it's you're basing it just solely on where they come from, but also the fact that you know, it's family owned, right? This is their livelihood. You know, they're going to do as good a job they can because they, you know, it's not like, oh, well, you know, if this person fails, we'll just fire them and bring in another family member. It's probably, you know, yeah. This is their family. This is like, you know, paying their keeping their lights on, paying their bills, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and someone in the chat says, is it culture or race? It's probably more culture. Like, even, but even this, okay, this happened in Vegas. The first day I got there and met you at the World's, whatever it was called. What's the name of the new one?
Oh, Resorts World.
Resorts World.
Oh, that place, God, what a great concept.
Oh, it's awesome. I just never remember the name of it.
Food court is, whatever. It's food court's obviously not a new concept. But this place had like 20 restaurants, all with different specialties. But you walked up to one order screen, one like tablet touchscreen thing, placed your order for all of them, and then you'd get a little text on your phone saying, hey, your brisket fried rice, I can't remember, we didn't have that, but your this is ready.
Oh, the clay pot, what was the clay pot thing?
Clay pot rice. Yeah. Oh, that was fantastic.
It was.
And then the bao buns, the pork belly bao.
Yeah, all of that was really good. But what I loved about it was, like, the lady that Kim bought the ice cream thing from,
yes,
I'd trust her with my life. Why? Because she's this nice little Asian lady who just is so nice. Like, I can't explain it. I don't know why I feel that way. But when I walk into a place that's like, but if I walk into a place that's like, welcome to our Bulgarian whatever, but it's just like a guy named Jeff, you know, I don't trust that as much. So anyway. No offense to any Jeffs, I'm just saying.
Or Bulgarians.
Yeah.
but I know what you're talking about. I mean, it almost is more of a, like, you can tell right from the get-go if this is somebody's job for today. Like, you know, they you walk in, it's like, hey, welcome to Red Robin. How many? You know, like, could care less. If you went to a family-owned Red Robin, right, that got the franchise, and it's like, oh, yeah, we've got, you know, Cousin Bill working the grill, and we've got so-and-so, and I'm, you know, mom, and I'm going to be seating you guys, you'd say, oh, you know what? I feel like I'm going to be taken care of at this Red Robin.
Yeah. Same thing happens at our local, we have a very close to us Chick-fil-A, and this place is family, you know, it's a family-owned franchise of the Chick-fil-A, you know, chain, but it's different there because these people go all out. They're so into it. They hire gay people. By the way, so they go contrary to whatever everyone thinks of the founder, but they got, like, you know, LGBTQ plus people all over that place, and it's great, and they're all super nice, and it's like a cut above, and there's a reason why their car's 400 miles stacked to get into there. Part of it is because it's just freaking Chick-fil-A, and everyone craves their chicken fortnightly, but it's also because they're so nice to work with. So I guess what I'm saying is you can tell when people have passion for what they're doing, and you can tell when it's a guy getting paid too little to do what he's doing and doesn't really like being there. And
or just, you know, feels like, you know, if I leave here, I could get a job somewhere else like that. So what do I care? And we all raised smart kids that don't feel that way, that like say, no, you know, when I'm committed to a job, I do that job. And
sure.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Sure, sure, sure. So anyway, that's my complaint. Do with it what you will. Red Robin, get your poop together. Let's move on to this email from Bronco. We haven't heard from Jeff Sire in a while, so we're going to read it
now. No, we haven't. How's he doing?
He seems fine. Here's what he says in this email he sent to us at themorningstream@gmail.com. Brian and Scott, your discussion of animal mayors. Remember we talked about the mayor that got voted in? Made me think of something you guys may find amusing. Tommy Douglas is considered the father of Canadian socialized medicine. He was the premier of Saskatchewan and introduced it there in 1962. He had to overcome the resistance of the socialist boogeyman. I also think I need to elaborate on what socialist boogeyman is considered. You guys are, because you guys are American. To demonstrate his point, he repeatedly told the Mouseland story. Says, I've included a link to it, so Scott will appreciate the old-timey feel. On a weird note, the clip is introduced by Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah. Who happens to be his grandson, which is pretty trippy. So I'm going to play a little bit of this.
Okay.
And I do appreciate its old-timey nature, I'll be honest.
Is Mouseland, is that where the shirt I'm wearing came from today?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, I like your shirt. That's a very cool Disney shirt.
Yeah, so Mickey's wearing green pants, and he should be wearing red.
I thought they were white, like a little diaper, no? Mm-mm. What am I thinking of? I might be. I'm thinking of a Smurf. I think a Smurf.
Oh, okay, yeah, Smurfs. Well, I think they just wear, like, long white pants, don't they?
I don't know. I mixed them all up. I'm picturing short little diapery Smurfs. I don't know why.
Except for Smurfette, who's not wearing anything.
No. As you know, she is something else. All right, here's the...
She Smurfs around.
Oh, it didn't... This didn't work. Hold on. Sorry, Chad. I'm trying to put it up for you. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play it. Thank you, Jeff, for this.
Look at that young Kiefer Sutherland. Holy cow.
Yeah, look at him. Here we go. Presents The New Democrats presents.
How do you like those maggots, Michael?
So he's the grandson?
Hi, my name is Kiefer Sutherland. Many of you may know me as an actor, but there's something in my background that you may not know, something which I am very proud of. I am also a grandson of the late Tommy Douglas, a premier who brought enormous change to Saskatchewan and the rest of Canada. He was also the first leader of the New Democratic Party.
Wow.
Using his voice in a recording that he had made in 1962, we'd like to share a story with you, a story that he made famous as early as 1940. It's a story of a place called Mouseland, and it's as important today as it was many years ago. It's not just a piece of history.
My
it's really one of
math.
The best explanations you'll ever hear about why Canadians like you and me.
Like you and me. And every time on election day, all the little mice used to go to the ballot box, and they used to elect the government.
That must be weird having a grandpa that was like all major in like the historical
thing,
right?
Yeah.
That'd be weird. Well, thank you for that, Jeff. Super interesting.
Yeah, I'm setting this up to watch later because it's it looks like it's the political secret of NIMH, basically, is what it looks like.
Yeah, no kidding. Jack Bauer looking young there.
Totally. Back when he was 24.
Yeah. So wait, does that make Donald Sutherland this dude's maybe it was his mom's side.
I
don't know who's
what. I mean, really could be Donald Sutherland's dad, too.
Yeah. How's he? Anyone check on him lately? Is he good? Donald hanging in there? He's all right, right?
Sure, he's all right. Yeah. He's been Hunger Gaming it up. I wonder if he's going to be in that new Hunger Games thing. No, I guess he won't be because it's a sequel, not a prequel. He's 86. And
all right.
Seems to be doing just fine.
Still cranking. Got movies in the works. Got a show called Swimming with the Sharks. Got a movie called Mr. Harrigan's Phone.
Sure.
Something called Ozzy. He was in Moonfall, this thing that we just came out. We want a film sack.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to film sack that business. Holy mackerel.
He's a busy boy.
Yeah.
Backdraft 2 in 2019. I'm sorry. Hello? What? Is that a thing? Backdraft 2?
There's not really a Backdraft 2. Really?
That's what this says. Hold on.
Wait. Oh. What's the year?
Yeah. 2019, there was a rated R Backdraft 2 directed by Gonzalo Lopez Galeo, a sequel to the 91 hit. Oh my gosh, I didn't know.
I had no idea. Look at that.
William Baldwin.
Direct to DVD. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. So they got Billy Baldwin back.
They
okay.
Got Billy and they got Donald and that's it. No one else is famous here. Well, all right. I'm sure it's shit. Oh yeah, here we go. 4.9 out of 10.
40% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's not good. It's not good. It seems bad. All right. Well, thank you, Jeff, for your email. It's always good to hear from our Canadian fans, listeners, and folks that we've known for so long. That's one guy I would love to see at one of these future Vegas meetups.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Bronco. And Jen, bring Jen with you. She's awesome. All right, we're going to do some news. We didn't do any yesterday, so we really need to catch people up on current events. So let's do that right now, if I can find the damn thing. Hey, it's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Free Comic Book Day. It's coming up this weekend. That means free comic prints from Scott and Carter once again. This year's theme is villains playing sports. Watch for these. Watch for when these go live on frogpants.com/store. And a reminder, they're 100% free, no matter where you live. They're just a way that we can thank everyone for all the year-round support.
Damn straight. That'll be this Saturday. I wish I had the preview up, but it's not up yet. But Dave will have it up soon. So watch for that.
Can't wait to see it. Can't wait.
Benjamin wants to know, does Jeff have an Asian restaurant? No, he does not. I realize I just slathered Jeff's, and then I read Jeff's email. That's pretty funny.
Anyway. Well, he's not Bulgarian. He's Canadian.
Nah, he's fine. All right. Check it out. Kids and people of a certain age. John Hinckley Jr., if you don't remember this dude. Yeah. He was guy what attempted to assassinate Ronald Reagan.
I just remember he was a fan of Jodie Foster. Was there anything else about him?
Just a simple fandom, Brian. That was it. A
simple fan of Jodie Foster.
Yeah. He just wanted to meet her, get her maybe her autograph if he's lucky, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's all it was. So he tried to kill President Ronald Reagan back in the day, 1981.
That's right.
He is playing a sold-out New York concert. Because he's out of the jail now, and he does music. And so this is what we do in America. We weirdly fetishize horrible human beings. I don't know why we do this, but whatever. John Hinckley Jr., who attempted to assassinate the president in 1981, is now playing a sold-out show. WABC reports Hinckley is scheduled to perform July 8th at the Market Hotel in Brooklyn, New York. Tickets are being sold for $20. The show is now sold out, according to the venue. Hinckley, age 66, is a singer and guitarist who has been posting original songs and covers of his hits or of hits by artists like Elvis Presley, Bob Dylan, and Joni Mitchell on YouTube since 2020, which is when he got out of his.
I remember we played like early in his tenure. We played something from him on like during the news segment. We watched one of his videos.
Yeah, it was brief, but yeah, apparently that's all he's focused on now, he says.
Yeah.
But anyway, it says here he only has 26,000 subscribers on YouTube, and I don't know why this article thinks that's a big deal.
He has more than 26,000 subscribers. Ooh. Well, you know, it's more than I have.
Well, it's more than a lot of people.
I don't put out content on a regular basis, so that's fine.
He was, he was my daughter's age. Hinckley was 25. Hinckley, rather.
Hinckley.
Not Hinckley. Hinckley was 25 when he shot and wounded the 40th U.S. president outside the Washington, D.C. hotel in an effort to reportedly impress actress Jodie Foster. The shooting paralyzed Reagan press secretary James Brady, who died in 2014, also injured Secret Service agent Timothy McCarthy and Washington police officer Thomas Delahanty. That sounds like a stereotype police officer from the old movies.
Officer Delahanty. Delahanty, what are we doing downtown today?
Claire, what do you think of that? What do you think of all these Irish policemen in our old movies? What do you think of that? Let's see. He was found not guilty of the assassination attempt by reason of insanity and sentenced to treatment. He was released from the institutional psychiatric care in 2016. Oh, I thought it was later. And freed from oversight that year. So he's just a dude now.
Yeah.
And he sold out a venue, and people are going to go see this guy play for just no other reason because he's John Hinckley Jr.
Because he's John Hinckley Jr.
How do you think John Hinckley Sr. felt about all this?
Probably said, do you mind using another name? Is that right? Do you mind using
I mean, as somebody with a 25-year-old kid, I'm trying to think of how I would feel if it suddenly was revealed that Carter went and tried to shoot somebody, shoot a president or something. What would I do? I don't know what I'd do. Like in today's world, it'd be the worst because it's on all the time, all around you. Like there'd be nothing but nonstop coverage. Right. This guy probably ducked the limelight a little bit. This dad, he probably didn't have to deal with it.
It feels like you'd still get the news, the three big networks at the time beating down your door for interviews. Like, how does it feel being the father of somebody who attempted to kill the president?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it feels bad. Thank you. like I've told all of you. I don't like it. I don't approve of it. And thank you for coming.
I wish he hadn't have done it and wish you could take it all back. Thanks for coming over. What else are you going to say? Like, what else is that guy going to say?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I think he should do more of this.
Well, he's my son. I stand behind every decision he makes.
Yeah. He's a good boy. All right. Yeah. Claire, you're 26. Would you do it? Okay. She'll do it.
Okay.
Someone get her on a list.
She's no kidding.
All right, Neil Parrish. This dude, you may not have heard of this dude. He's a he's a ministry dude in the UK. Big Conservative Party guy. Over there in the UK, he is resigning after what they are calling a porn moment of madness.
Oh, that's the new Doctor Strange movie, isn't it?
It
Doctor
is.
Doctor Strange and the porn moment of madness?
Yep, it is. And it's boy howdy. Oh, how's that reviewing? Have we have reviews yet?
Let's see. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I'm worried. Don't
I never know.
Tell me the
reviews. Never tell me the reviews. Oh, 84. You're
doing
all right.
I just merged my Solo and my Indiana Jones.
You're not in the 90s, but 84 is not bad.
Oh, 84 is good. All right.
How many reviewers? 56 reviews so far. No audience, obviously, because it's not out.
Sure, that's on Rotten Tomatoes.
Let's see.
Tomatoes.
I love Chidiwelf Avivachifor. I love that
guy. Sure,
sure. What does he play? Mordo? Mordo.
He's Baron Mordo, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, this is interesting. Okay, here's a review you'd like from the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Okay.
Did you ever go out there?
I did. I installed at the Cleveland Plain Dealer. I still have... Oh, do I have it?
Your DNA is still on their stuff. Oh,
the thing that I keep my atomic fireballs in, which you probably can't see because let's put a business card. I'll take a business card here and I'll put it behind the logo.
Okay,
right here, baby. Okay. The Cleveland Plain Dealer.
What?
There.
What? How did we? This is too good.
It's better than a Tom, right?
Like, yeah, you're like Tom Merritt. Except Tom Merritt's weird because he always seems like he has everything, but he says he has a trick to that. But you actually had the thing.
I actually have a Cleveland Plain Dealer glass right here that I keep my atomic fireballs in.
Well, the review from Joey Morona in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, he's their film reviewer.
He just one word, whoa,
he says. He starts all his reviews with whoa. And then he said the most inventive, chaotic, and scariest film in the 28 movie history of the MCU.
Ooh. Oh, wow. All right, cool. Scary. I like that.
I like this one here from the fanboynation.com. Sam Raimi didn't make a Marvel movie. Marvel made a Sam Raimi movie.
Wow. Ooh. You're not trapped in here with him. He's trapped in here with you.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh. let's see. Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness says... I don't know who this is. Pushes the boundaries in a way that enables its audience to get a taste of the multiverse in action.
Okay, all right.
Let's read a negative one, just to be fair here.
Yeah. Just for equal reporting, equal balance.
Yeah, here's one from the Associated Press.
Never heard of them.
Jocelyn Nova. Who the hell are they? Perhaps the Marvel Universe is finally starting to feel like a long-running comic book series, or maybe Phase 4 just hasn't kicked into gear yet. Either way, I was bored. Here's another sad one. A film that constantly pushes back against its own possibilities. Both WandaVision and Loki took more creative risks significantly, says Brian Talakerko of RogerEbert.com. Well, anyway, you're in the 84. You're good.
I'll take it. I mean, you know, listen, I enjoyed Eternals. I enjoyed Black Widow. Loved Shang-Chi and, you know. What did Shang-Chi... Well, I guess Shang-Chi ended up with a high 80s or low 90s or something.
I like Shang-Chi a lot.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the hell out of that. I know, you know, Awkwafina notwithstanding, and I like her, but she drove me nuts in that movie.
91% for Shang-Chi, and then Eternals, not so high.
Much lower.
47%.
Ooh, much lower.
Tomato meter. So there you go.
That is a bummer.
Do with that what you will.
It's a bummer when you go from... You just won... an Oscar for best picture.
Yeah,
and then you turn around a year later and everyone gives you shit, and I don't think it's as bad as everyone says. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't even say. I don't even know why I'm saying that. I have no judgment here.
A lot of people in our chat room didn't like Eternals.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful was great movie, and
see Matuba,
it was a good introduction to some characters that kind of, you know, both literally and figuratively in the Marvel Universe, operated on the sidelines.
Sure.
And
where else are you going to get two of the Stark boys in one movie?
That's right, exactly.
You know, that was a big deal. Right. It's like a little family reunion. Matuba in the chat has actually had the opposite experience with Shang-Chi as me. He says, I don't care much for Awkwafina, but I loved her in Shang-Chi. It's total opposite for me. I like her in lots of things. I really dislike that character. I partly because I just felt like it was... So, like, oh, we need a character that's like the audience.
and they're with him the whole time. And then they become a fantastic archer. Look out, Hawkeye. Aquafina's coming for you, buddy. Like, come right. on.
With just a couple hours of practice, she's just as good as you.
Boo.
Boo.
Michelle Yeoh was in that, right?
She and
Shang-Chi? Toward the end? She was...
Yes.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Freaking love her.
She is awesome. She's everything everywhere all at once.
Yeah. She's amazing. All right. Here's your story about this porn guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow.
So I got a little distracted. Yeah. I don't know. How did I even do that? Oh, madness. Porn moment of madness.
Oh, right. The Doctor Strange and the porn moment of madness. Yeah. That was quite a... That was an early rabbit hole, and it took us a long time to get out of that one.
Oh, man. So here's what happened. Mr. Parrish, this dude who was representing the Tilverton and Honington in Devon since 2010, said he had been it had been a moment of madness. He said the first time was accidental after looking at a tractor website.
It was a pop-up, right? I was looking at a Kubota tractor, and... I clicked the wrong thing, and all of a sudden I'm looking at stepmoms.
What's the big one here? Green? What is it?
Oh, John Deere.
Green?
Yeah.
Oh, it's because they're always green. Why did I say green? Yeah. That's why.
John Green tractors.
It says the second time he did it in the House of Commons, like on the site there, that was deliberate. Yeah. He was suspended.
Well, wanted to see how the movie ended.
You can't keep that guy hanging like that.
Exactly. What happens with the stepson?
It's always that. I love that we always go back to that, the Ted Cruz one.
It's just such a funny little niche of those things.
Does anyone in the world think that Ted Cruz was telling the truth when he said a staffer probably clicked on it? I don't believe
it. No, absolutely not. He absolutely is looking at
that stuff. Guaranteed he did.
Yeah.
Freaking, you'd have to prove me wrong. I'd bet money. I'd bet a couple of grand on that. Anyway, he was suspended by the Conservative Party on Friday for the allegations. Two female colleagues claimed they had seen him looking at adult entertainment or content on his phone while sitting near them. In an exclusive interview with the BBC Southwest, Mr. Parris said, quote, "The situation was that, funny enough, it was tractors I was looking at."
Then all of a sudden, I'm looking at someone getting plowed. The irony.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Like, I don't know if I can go on.
Good night, everybody. We'll see really you tomorrow. Good.
He says, "I did get into another website and had a very similar name, and I watched it for a bit, which I shouldn't have done," he says. "But my crime, my biggest crime, is that on another occasion, I went in a second time." I love how this guy explains it.
Yes, right.
He admitted the second time had been deliberate and that it happened in the House of Commons while he was still waiting to vote. Mr. Parris said when he was, what he did was, quote, "absolutely, totally wrong." Adding, "I will have to live with this for the rest of my life. I made a huge, terrible mistake, and I'm here to tell the world." No luck on the tractor, I'm guessing.
No luck. I guess, maybe he'll still get a tractor, but he doesn't, he won't be a member of the House of Commons.
They don't give any background on this, but do you think he was like he owns a farm up north or something, or, you know, something like that?
It'd be funny if he didn't, right? Like, I live in a small flat above Kensington, and I need a tractor.
I just like tractors, you know?
I just like tractors, yeah.
Got a tractor fetish. So there's that. Moving on to this story. Oh, this is weird. Okay, Texas listeners, there's some in the chat here, so maybe y'all speak to this. Researchers keep finding creepy dolls washed up on Texas beaches.
Ooh.
And by creepy dolls.
They always follow you? They've got a ruined eye?
They got a ruined eye. Man, that's a great stereotype.
Follows you home.
Is that a song? I didn't realize it was a song. I just love that.
Yeah, it's a creepy doll by Jonathan Colton.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Another creepy doll that always follows you.
That's great. Okay, so here it is. So chat now, you can see it. There's that lady holding one up.
Oh, she's got a creepy doll.
A creepy doll.
They had, house. Oh, that is a creepy doll. Yeah. God, at least brush the swamp thing off of it.
Jeez, swamp thing.
Pull the lobster claw out of its mouth.
Yeah.
There was an entire, like, closet that you go in as part of the haunted museum tour. The Zach Bagans Haunted Museum. The closet you're walking into is lined head to toe with creepy dolls.
Did he
one that we have to keep behind glass because when we had it on display, it knocked a picture off the wall and ripped the bolts off.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm not kidding. Not kidding.
Really? This is what they said?
Totally true. 100% what they said.
Those guys like to milk it, don't they?
Little bit, yes. It was a creepy... It was a closet full of creepy dolls, and they were all... like, everyone positioned so that they're just staring at whoever's in the middle of this closet.
Ugh. That kind of creeps me out. Even though I know it's all faked up. It's gross.
Yeah.
well, it says here... Let's see here. Researchers regularly survey the coast for creatures like sea turtles, marine animals, this kind of stuff, right? Endangered birds. But they don't often... Oh, and they sometimes come across debris because, you know, stuff falls off of container ships or whatever.
Sure.
But right now, these creepy dolls are everywhere. They've been mysteriously encountering dolls washed ashore on Texas beaches. They reserve documents... Documents the most interesting ones on their Facebook page. I was reading that as if it was papers, they meant documenting is what they meant.
Okay.
And I'm dumb. The creepy castaways are usually in a horrific condition, covered in barnacles, missing their limbs, hair and eyes, and that kind of stuff. So what I'm guessing here, they don't know 100% sure, but what I think happened probably, because looking at the age of this gross doll she's holding, that's probably like, 5 years, 6 years ago, whatever, a container fell off a ship and it was full of these dolls from China or something. And then those things got washed up everywhere. Ooh, look at
and
these.
And it wouldn't be as creepy if it wasn't covered with sand and barnacles and appears to have maybe a third eye in the middle of its head.
Yeah, no kidding. There's one that AB Tech John, is that who did it? Yeah. He just put a picture in there. Look at these things. This is part of the find. Why is the one all markered up? Look at the green one.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So this is obviously some kid's toy that got... it's probably more like instead of brand new dolls that were being taken somewhere, probably like a Goodwill kind of thing that just had a bunch of dolls in it. Because that's what some kid does if they get a hold of a green magic marker and they...
They do makeup.
You want to put makeup on that doll.
You can't put makeup. No, what's the phrase? Something about a pig? What's the deal?
Looks like freaking Dr. Zazz or something.
Oh, it totally does, dude. These are freaky.
Were you getting lipstick on a pig?
That's what I was trying to do.
If you scroll up, by the way, from AV Tech John's link, you'll see Zach Bagan's Haunted Museum closet full of creepy dolls.
Is that Zach Bagan?
Yeah, it's Zach Bagan right in the middle of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at that guy doing his thing. Let me zoom in here. There you go, chat. Oh, yeah, this is a little bit weird.
I don't know what, like, next to the Bobby Brady looking one behind his head, there, to the right of that, there's like what just looks like a severed head. Not even a creepy doll, just
a head.
Just a head.
A bunch of these are mannequins, or not mannequins. What do you call those?
Hand ventriloquist dummies.
Ventriloquist, that's it.
Yeah.
God, dang it, I couldn't think of that damn word. Ventriloquism. Yeah. Well, look at the one, the girl that's in the little, like, nice wooden little frame.
Yeah, that's the one that is protected because she knocked a picture off the wall overnight one night. Like, they came back and the picture had been ripped right off the wall.
Yeah, and they know that she did it.
They know that she... Well, she was right next to it. Had to be her.
Such bullshit, these things.
Yeah.
I love them, though.
Yeah.
As long as we, as long as
Tina loves the haunted stuff, so we had to go see it.
Yeah, and if you treat that stuff as stupid as it is, you can have a really great time with it.
You can, exactly.
Yeah. If you believe in it, I don't know what to do for you. You know,
as long as you like it, if it makes you happy.
Well, Brian, how does a fresh bag of McDonald's French fries, does that make you happy?
Oh, sounds delicious. Like fresh, hot and fresh, right out of the grease vat covered with their weird salt.
Yep.
Perfect. Let's
right
do
out
it.
Of the McDonald's chute. I've got some.
It's not too early. It's not too early for some McDonald's fries.
No, it's never too early. A couple found 1950s era McDonald's bag with French fries inside of a wall. They were doing home renovations.
Nice.
And pulled out this thing. So it was French fries and burgers, half eaten stuff. Yeah, wall fries. Mm.
So anyway, you should have gotten that from Wahlburgers.
Nice. Anyway, this happened to, this is an Illinois couple stumbled upon it during their renovations. Rob and Gracie Jones. were doing work on their 1959 Crystal Lake home. Well, that's your problem. Crystal Lake.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Careful. There's a machete in the other wall. I never do that right. Anyway. Located 50 miles northwest of Chicago, suddenly they found decades-old McDonald's bag behind one wall. They had no idea that they were going to find this. He says, at this point, we were both looking at each other, wondering if we'd be calling the police because we just uncovered evidence from a crime scene. We were very relieved to find out it was just old McDonald's bags. If I scroll here, chat, you can see the condition.
Yeah.
Look at those fries, dude.
Oof. I know. I mean, you know, they look a little grubby, but the color, there's still the color of McDonald's fries.
Yeah, the fact that and I thought the ones in the 50s were less preservative-y. I thought they would maybe be more gone, and maybe I don't know, man. And why would you do that? Hurry, put the food in the wall. It must have been while they were drywalling or something.
It was easily like some worker building the house is like, the trash can's way over there. Well, they'll never find this. I'll just put it here. Neighbors across the street were doing reservations, knocked down a wall. I'm not lying when I said they found a pair of tidy whities back there with a poop stain down the back.
Somebody had an accident and they hid the evidence.
Somebody had an accident and they just said, I'll just put it behind the wall.
Great.
And there it sat for, in this case, only like 20 years, 25
Still,
years.
Still, that's a nice long time. Wow. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's an amazing
Not the
story.
Crazy neighbors, but that would be enough to drive me crazy. Like, oh my God, what else is behind these walls?
No kidding. I'd worry about the whole house after that.
Yeah, I would too.
Well, that completes today's news. Oh, real quick, before we go on to the song, if I had these fries here and I was, let's say we're in Vegas, and I said, hey, Brian, what would it take? Yeah, what would it take? Give me what it would take. I won't even name a price.
I'm going to start the bidding at $10,000 to just eat one fry, right?
One fry. One
just
fry.
Just a bite of one of the fries?
Yeah, just a bite. I feel like they're so petrified it wouldn't do anything to you. It'd just be like eating.
Yeah, I mean, right? I think $10,000. I don't think I'd go much lower than that.
Nismaru skid marks the spot. That'll probably make it in the
lineup.
Well
done. Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic.
That's pretty good. Yeah. All right. Well, without further ado, a song selection, please. What do you got today? What are we doing?
Yeah, we're going to go to Arizona. Brand new album is going to be coming out on June 3rd from a band called The Venomous Pinks. It is an all-women punk rock band. These guys are great. Big thanks to Sabam Records, S-B-A-M Records. The new album is called Vita Moors, and this is Venomous Pinks with the first single from this album, which is called Apothecary Ailment.
Another drop, another taste to make you sing. message from the Arcturians. Humans are now exiting their matrix programming and waking up to the real world that has always been behind the scenes. There are many other alien species disguised as humans walking around among you, arranging timelines and causing mysterious occurrences to unfold. We will start to realize that we are extraterrestrials.
Back to my bunghole.
Eye contact. Great for job interviews. Creepy while eating a banana. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, everybody. Hey.
I could listen to that woman speak in this cadence for hours.
She has a whole channel. I'm telling you, Third Eagle, move over. This lady goes on and on and on about this stuff. She's got like all these theories about we're all aliens. It's about to be revealed. And she talks like that the whole time.
Oh, my God. Oh,
we just, are
just
now seeing
a new video today called. haven't used that one ever to describe that. It's like it's so right from the 60s or 70s. But
yeah, she's a nutbag. I follow her on TikTok for just content like this.
Of course you do.
Yeah, because I got it. You know, I need it for the show. It's content, I figure. By the way, this other clip I played right here.
Back in my bunghole.
That's President Lyndon B. Johnson.
Nice.
Recording a conversation with a tailor trying to explain how he wants his pants done.
Really? Oh, perfect.
Yeah,
excellent.
That's really good. Anyway, Brian, who was that song, by the way?
Yeah, that was the Venomous Pinks from their upcoming album, Vita More, with their first single, Apothecary Ailment. Some Arizona punk.
Nice. I like Arizona and I like punk, so...
Well, you might like this.
All right. I'm in. Sign me up. All right. Let's get our good old pal Bill on the line here.
Yeah, Bill. Yeah. Bill.
Bill's a good guy. We haven't talked to him in a week because we were gone.
Right.
Missed him in Las Vegas.
Oh, we did.
We did. But it'll be good to talk to him again after I push this button.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Duran joining us from punishprops.com somewhere up in the northwestern part of this country. Bill, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing great.
Yeah?
A couple weeks ago was I quit my job 10 years ago.
Oh, it's the anniversary. Cool.
For a hot second, I thought you were going to say I quit Punish Props a couple of weeks ago.
No. I quit the other job to do Punish Props starting just over 10 years ago.
That's right.
And that reminded me to go check. I've been doing this podcast with you guys for longer than that.
Oh, my gosh. Weird. Yeah. Yeah. That's weird. Hey, when you left Microsoft, did they, somebody from accounting throw like a party and have a little cake and everything? Like, what happened there? When you left?
So I worked at night. I would go in at 5 p.m. Uh-huh. and leave at 1 in the morning. We did video publishing around the clock. And because I was there at night, I only ever saw like 5 people.
Mm.
So and none of them threw a party for me.
Oh, that's too bad. That's a bummer. Fine. I didn't know how that, I was trying to think, well, what would Microsoft do if somebody was leaving like Bill? Like someone is illustrious and a luminary like Bill Duran. And it sounds like they did jack shit. So that's a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's
I remember. I remember when I turned in my 2 weeks notice. I walked into my boss's office and I was like, "Hey, boss, I'm quitting. I'm going to go make props for a living." And he looked at me and he goes, "Well, that sounds fun."
Wow, that's probably a good confirmation. You're on your way. It's good. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you're here talking with us about the cool stuff you're all into these days. And since we didn't have you last week, I can't imagine all the cool cookie jars you have your hands in. So tell us what's going on.
Oh, boy. So our friends over at Film Riot, they make movies and they teach people how they make their movies. They just released a short film called Sentry, and they had me make all the props for it.
Ooh.
Oh, cool.
Ooh. Yeah. So... I've made several props for them. I love those guys. They're really, really fun. And they've been doing these, like, they call them micro action shorts, just to practice, just to have fun shooting little action scenes. So I made a rifle for them a few years ago, all out of foam. It was really cool. They made an action movie around it. And then they reused that rifle to sort of continue the story. They also needed a new rifle for another character. They needed a little drone and a shield like a science sci-fi looking shield, just the handle, and they VFX the shield part on there. Yeah,
that's
so cool. A couple months ago, Ryan pinged me and was like, "Hey, can you make some props for me?" And I said, "Sure." So I made all these things. We did do a video over on our website at punishprops.com for the rifle, the drone, and the handle. I made separately. It was a lot of things to make all at once.
That's pretty cool. I see the rifle now. Yeah, look at that thing.
Potentially now you can have people making prop replicas of the real props you made for this movie.
Oh, like, absolutely, yeah.
Like the circle, the chain continues. How cool.
Yeah,
this is awesome.
That's when I know I'll have made it, really.
That's right, exactly, yeah.
And says these guys,
one of these,
go ahead.
We have the sci-fi museum here in Seattle. So when one of these props ends up in that sci-fi museum, that's when I'll be like, yeah, made it.
It says here, and I think you mentioned it. They made this film in like 8 hours. How did that? That's crazy.
So they filmed it in 8 hours. Yeah. A lot of work went in ahead of time, but yeah, they're going for this sort of run and gun short story sort of thing, and they filmed it all in one day.
That's awesome. I love that kind of stuff. It looks really good. Their stuff always looks like it. You know, why aren't they just making? They should have a series on Netflix by now or something.
I know, right? I'm sure they're pitching. I'm sure they're working on it.
I hope so. Although right now, Netflix is trimming like crazy. So maybe not the best time to be pitching to them. But everybody else seems to be doing all right. I don't know what's going on with Netflix. It's weird right now.
I know.
Anyway, well, that's cool. So
it is.
When in this process, do they come to you and go, "All right, Bill, here's exactly what we need," or do you go, "I have some ideas. Are you open to those?" Like, how does that collaboration work?
Because it's short notice and no budget, that there's got to be a lot of flexibility, right?
Yeah.
So Ryan sent me a bunch of images of stuff he found online. He's like, you know, something like this. And then I did a quick round of designs, sent him a couple of photos, and said, "How do you feel about this?" And he was like, "Sure." And I went with it. The drone, I actually did the most, like, from scratch fabricating. I 3D printed a vacuform buck, and then I vacuformed some shells to make the sort of drone thing. The gun was most of the work, and that's what we did our video on. And that was a lot of kit bashing of old toys. I have buckets and buckets of old toys. And I went through them. I found a laser tag gun that I bought at Goodwill for like $2. I found a stock from a Nerf gun, and then a barrel, a silencer toy barrel from something. And I basically just stuck them all together and painted them.
That's pretty cool.
And it was a ton of fun because I got to just sort of play with my own designs. One of my favorite things about the gun was I kit bashed the whole thing together, basically glued all these bits together. I sprayed it a black primer, but before I painted it, I took a photo and then I photoshopped three different paint jobs, and I sent those to Ryan. I said, "Hey, which paint job do you want?" And he was able to just pick his favorite, and then I ran with that one, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Getting to preview the paint job that way.
Do you feel like you, when you have more creative, not control, it's not what I mean, just kind of like liberty to, you know, given the time frame and the budget and everything else, like you mentioned, and they also just sort of trust you inherently to do something cool, is that your preferred creative way to make stuff, or is there more pressure with that because you're like, "Oh, man, nobody's giving me any rules, so I gotta..."
Right.
I ask this for me because I have this same struggle sometimes when it comes to commissions versus just doing something because someone says, "Hey, do what you do." And then I'm like, "Oh, I don't know if this is better or worse."
Right now, I would say I like that kind of challenge. Making something from scratch, designing something that came out of my own brain. I don't know. That challenge to me right now is really enticing.
Yeah.
That, of course, though, there are other, you know, I still want to replicate things. I made something yesterday from scratch that was a total replication, and I loved it. But there's something about when I see that these props on screen where I'm like, "I designed that. I that came out of my brain, and that feels really good." And it was a fun challenge to try and tackle.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, you guys should be going and checking this video out. It's a long one, this one.
Yep.
Isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
A little bit long. Oh, it's not on the website, but it is on your. It is on the YouTube thing. I can't find it on the website. Weird. All right. Well, if you can't find it on punishprops.com, go to the Punish Props YouTube channel and you'll find it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Bill, did you bring any extras for us this week?
Yeah, I just have the behind the scenes that Film Riot made for Sentry. So they filmed this short film, and it's a couple minutes long. Go watch that, and then immediately go watch the behind the scenes and how they made it, which is really kind of the whole point.
Because that's what they do, right? Like their their job isn't so much we're making a huge feature film or a important short film that's going to win all the awards or whatever. Their job is like we're going to make something badass and then show you how we did it.
Exactly right.
So you can do it. And that's their whole thing.
Also over at their website, they sell a lot of assets for helping make videos. Yeah. Like we've actually used some of their visual effects packs. They have a bunch of beams. Just like laser beams and sci-fi beams, but also they have a Ghostbuster beam. We totally use that in our Ghostbuster video.
That's cool.
So if you're into filmmaking at all and you want to maybe get your hands on like some cool sound effects or visual effects type stuff that are really helpful, as well as all the knowledge to use them, then go check out our friends over at Film Riot.
They're
the coolest.
They just seem like they're so into what they're doing. I love it.
For sure.
Yeah. And they're just really awesome people. I got to hang out with them and do some a bunch of projects with them, and they're just the best.
Well, and they like you, so you must be cool. Hey, everybody. Well, if you want more of Bill's work and just lots of cool ideas to get you inspired to make your own stuff, check out punishprops.com and the YouTube channel by the same name. Bill Duran, good to have you back. We'll see you next time.
Toodaloo.
Bye now.
See you, Bill.
Oh, there he goes. Toodles.
I see
Toodles.
Him.
Toodles. I see him go. He leaves.
All right, Bobby. Bobby ain't coming.
Yeah.
You know what that means? That means our own personal short Southern Jesus coming on the show.
Disco Ball Jesus.
Disco Ball Jesus here to join us. We got to play his or thing.
Disco though. Ball Science Jesus.
Yeah, Science Jesus.
Science.
It's it's Bobby Frankenberger who joins us all the way from South Carolina. And for some reason, oh, you didn't cut your hair. It's just pulled back. Okay. Whew.
Yeah.
Hey, here. Sorry. I didn't mean to scare you.
There we go.
I had a moment of like, wait a minute. That I know what I saw in Vegas. I know what I saw. Can't change that quick. No, look at you, dude. You're home. How you feeling? You good?
I'm feeling great. It was a fun time. I was thinking about it. I just ran to get some coffee. So if I'm out of breath, I sometimes think, okay, I know all these people on the internet and I'm really good friends with a lot of people. And I wonder, do we really need like, to be physically near each other, because I have all these great relationships with people online. And then you go to something like this and you realize, like TMS Vegas, and you realize it's kind of like putting the bread dough in the oven. You need to apply the heat to, like, all the ingredients are there, but the heat kind of solidifies that matrix and just makes everything.
It's really
a lot better.
Astute way of looking at it. Yeah, exactly. You know, we can sit here and put dough in front of you guys all day long, but without you providing the heat.
Yeah, how are we going to have any bread? We'll just have dough.
Right. Yeah, how and can you have are, any bread if are, you don't make your pudding?
That's right.
And what are a bunch of podcasters but doughy people?
Yeah, we're just doughy people, with some exceptions. Yes, yeah. There were some very svelte people this last week, and it made me wish I was a little skinnier, including Bobby here. Who's fit as a fiddle, much shorter than I expected, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm much taller than people expect, so that's the trade-off, right? I meet somebody shorter than me, I'm just going to notice it, just how it is. Anyway, I did not get baked Tondragosa. I had one half of an edible. There's
They're
a
not
going to
let that go. You know, it's never going to stop.
I know. It should stop, but it won't. Hey, Bobby, so let's get into it. We got some science to cover this week since we're all back and comfy and ready. What? I know today's a surprise for me. I have no idea what you're bringing, so what do you got?
Well, speaking of Vegas, so Brian did this whole thing for the live show where we had to be... You know, we had to do something for him. He kidnapped us and locked us in a hotel room.
Right,
pretty much. Yeah.
But but because of that, he did a really good job of keeping it secret. And so I kept asking him, like, I know I'm going to be on the thing. Do you need me to prepare some sciencey stuff? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. It might be good to have something prepared. And I never did anything
no,
with
we
it.
Didn't.
So.
Yeah, we took a long time to get through that.
Yeah. So I thought, I'm not going to waste all that research. And we can, there are some things that well, first of all, there's science everywhere, right? Like, that's my whole thing. So I'm constantly looking stuff up anyway. But so I thought, you know, what are some of the so I'm going to stop rambling my way in through this and just get to it. So one of the nights we were there in Vegas, Brian took me to the Cosmopolitan. There's a what's that bar there called?
Oh, yes, called the Chandelier Bar. Yes.
Yeah. And he said, Bobby, you've got to come with us to this bar because there's this great drink there that I think you would like. It's with your sciencey mind. It's called a verbena.
Verbena. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, right, and the verbena night where everybody was verbena, like, we got to go get the flower thing.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So this is
only
really
available
cool
on the 1.5 floor. So halfway between the first floor, it's like the Flemmer Building. The first floor and the second floor, there's the half 1.5 floor.
Huh. Yeah, yeah. And I did look it up. This is the only bar where this is. This drink is served. It
oh,
was
wow.
Yeah, it was created by the lead mixologist there at the Cosmopolitan. What's her Mariana Mercer.
Okay.
And so the deal is, so what's this drink about? It's basically like a margarita, but it's got this flower inside of it called a Szechuan button. And what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to eat it. And I think you are supposed to swallow it. I was afraid to swallow it, but
I thought you were just supposed to like nibble the petals. Like you're not supposed to eat the whole.
Everything I've read says you just eat it. And
really?
One of the descriptions, so next time you got to really eat it. Cause one of the descriptions I read was that it actually numbs your throat as well. Which might be a really interesting sensation, but be prepared for it because what happens is you chew on this or you eat this flower and it causes your whole mouth to just feel like electrically buzzing. Mm-hmm. And then it goes numb and then you're supposed to drink the drink and it's supposed to give you the description is that it enhances the flavor. It makes you almost a super taster, but not really because super tasters just have a terrible sensation of bitterness. But that's a different issue. The point is it massively enhances the flavor of this drink. And I looked into it, and it's because of this this alkaloid that's in the flower called spilanthol or spilanthol. It's really kind of a toxin, what it's doing is it's activating these similar biochemical pathways as capsaicin. Do you know what capsaicin is?
Yeah,
it's the spice makes peppers spicy.
Yeah,
right. It's spicy food is spicy because of this capsaicin chemical. So this flower doesn't have the capsaicin in it, but it's activating similar pathways which are designed for your body to and your tongue to detect something that shouldn't be there, like a toxin. Now it's obviously not toxic in the way that's gonna hurt you because you eat it, but and you do with peppers too, but I thought that was really interesting that it's activating those same sorts of things. And
it is, yeah. I wouldn't know. I mean, it makes sense, right? That it would operate on that same level, that same frequency.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I that was the night where I almost had a hangover the next day, but I didn't quite. But do you? So that's a great opportunity to talk about the science of hangovers. We're just going to do a romp through science here. Ready?
Sure.
Oh, good. I like it. All liquor
based science.
Cocktail. Yeah. Perfect.
It's not all alcohol stuff. I've got for whatever time that we have. You just stop me whenever, because I could go on forever.
Well, listen, real quick before we get any too much further, I want to just full disclosure. My wrestling name was Szechuan Button for about 3 years. Okay, that's out of the way. We're good. Go
ahead.
Yeah,
they call them Szechuan buzzing buttons.
So, buzzing buttons. Yeah. Okay.
Buzzing buttons.
All right.
Yeah.
I want to know more.
So a hangover. There's a lot of people that have all these like home remedies for hangovers, right? Do you, Brian, know any that you use? Are there any that you use?
There are none that I feel are successful. I mean, I try and remember to hydrate like crazy. Yeah. Throughout the night, have an alcohol drink, have a water drink, have an alcohol drink. Sing the songs that remind me of the good times.
I was about to say that was the first draft of that song, and
it was exactly where they changed it. however, if I don't remember to do that, then usually just coffee clears it up for me. Coffee and an aspirin, and I'm set.
Yeah, yeah. So to know. Basically, I'll get to the cut to the chase. There are basically no hangover cures.
Like real, okay? True. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's nothing just, you can. Once you have a hangover.
Once you have it, that's it, right? I mean, I always hear drink tons of water. Is that anything to that, or is that just an eventual cure?
Well, once you have the hangover, that's it.
Okay.
You've got a hangover. The only thing that's going to cure it is time.
Okay.
There are things that you might be able to do that make you feel a little bit better until it goes away, but really not much of anything. But yeah, as you were just about to say, Brian, the real thing with a hangover is all about prevention, right?
Right.
And really the biggest thing you should do is hydration, but why? Why is that? Hmm. Right?
It's more than just watering down your drinks in your body, right?
Right, right, exactly. There are three main reasons that a hangover happens, right? Mm-hmm. And the first one is dehydration. That's one of the biggest things that's happening, and that's why water helps a lot, because alcohol is a diuretic, which despite the name, it's a diuretic is not something that makes you poop. a diuretic actually makes you pee.
Makes you pee, Isn't that weird? It's a weird phraseology.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't like
it. It's spelt differently, but it sounds like the other problem.
Maybe that's what this guy meant when he said
diarrhea.
Maybe he meant he had the peeps. He had the peeps.
They had the peeps. You know.
For lack of a better way of saying it.
So diuretic makes you pee, but the way that it makes you pee is by suppressing the hormone in your body that draws fluid into your bloodstream. Right? Because your body has this natural way of saying, oh, we need more fluid in the bloodstream, so we'll release this hormone that will cause fluid to be drawn into your bloodstream to maintain that balance. You're supposed to have a certain amount of fluid for blood pressure reasons and just for sustaining life reasons. But whenever you drink alcohol, it suppresses that. So whenever it's not in the bloodstream and it's just floating around outside, your kidneys take it up and then it goes to your bladder and you pee it out. So that happens more when you have alcohol. But because you're peeing it out, it's harder to stay hydrated. And so dehydration can cause headaches, can cause you... Because it actually shrinks the volume of your brain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Now, I know that sounds bad, and I said it.
I almost don't want to drink anymore because of that.
Almost.
I almost don't want to start drinking. Man.
It's not... When it shrinks the volume of your brain, it's not permanent. It's just because your brain has so much water in it. And if you are dehydrating yourself, your body's not just going to be like, well, I guess we'll just leave the... It's going to suck the water from your brain to get some of it. And so when that happens, it pools on the inside of your skull, and just causes your head to hurt. Also, it depletes things like other important elements in your body, like sodium and potassium and magnesium that you need for cell function and everything. And that's why all that happens. So water, and I do the same thing, Brian. I try to do, a glass of water between every drink. Because that does two things. First of all, it keeps you hydrated. But second, it helps with the other thing, which is it spaces out your drinks. Mm-hmm. Because the other reason that a hangover happens is because of toxin buildup. Because in the process of breaking down alcohol, it produces a toxin in your body called acetaldehyde. And this is just normal. It's not... Your body can handle it. Like, your body clears this toxin easily.
Told me a lot of toxins that I might have.
It turns out that alcohol is a poison.
and it depends on quantity, right? Like, you gotta.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. There's a dose response curve is what people like to say.
Now, when you're on the high roller and you've only got 30 minutes, Personally, I wasn't saying, by the way, next round, I just want water. Like, we had a limited time. It was like, no, no, no. Keep those coming. And that we had a great
And I did the same thing. We all did that.
We
it's
all did,
okay.
yes.
It's
yes.
okay.
We had ice cubes. That was water.
Sure. We had ice cubes. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your body is able to clear this toxin at a rate of about one drink per hour. Smaller, that's an average. So smaller people, it would be a little bit, it would take a little bit longer to clear, and larger people would take, you'd be able to do more than a drink an hour, maybe. But that's the rate at which you're clearing it. So by spacing your drinks out with water, it also gives your body more time to clear it before you have the next drink, you know?
Mm.
So that's,
well, having never experienced this, help me understand the feeling. Is it like, massive
headache?
It very
much depends on how much you drink and how bad your hangover is, right?
Okay. So it sounds like it's a scale, but like if you've got like a bad headache, flu-y kind of feeling, is that kind of what it is? Or?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It starts with like a mild hangover would just be a headache, but if it's, as it gets worse,
compression, like feels like your head is being compressed.
Yeah, and then it proceeds to what I call stomach rot for the next day, which it just, you can't eat anything, and you just feel disgusting.
The thought of any more alcohol is...
yeah, that is...
induces nausea, yeah.
Mm.
That's a really, that's a really not fun place to get. So I try not to. That's the goal. But yeah, there's so much science. All over, you know. I annoyed our Lyft drivers all the time when we were driving around, because there were all the mountains that were around there are just, you guys are used to mountains,
mm-hmm.
so
yeah.
it wasn't
the mountains, tiny hills way out in the distance.
I know how quaint am I?
We got to get you. We get you out to Salt Lake City or Denver, and you'll be like,
these are mountains.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe, and really, it probably would be that way for me, because I saw the mountains that were all around there, and it was just fascinating. And I read about them, and the geology of the area is so cool. There was like a meteor that destroyed the area millions of years ago, and then carved things up, and subduction plates and all this kind of stuff. But so I bored all of our Lyft drivers with that.
Well, you were the guy that went straight to the math on the thing nobody's seen yet, so we won't spoil what.
Yeah.
But it sounds like Bobby to me. Well, all right then. This is fascinating stuff. Obviously, there's lots more to it, but I love learning about this stuff, even though I've never been subjected to a hangover of sorts. And Brian, you're pretty good at it. You're a hold your alcohol well guy.
I bounce back. I don't know. I mean, the last time I had hangover was probably the morning after that Periscope that got deleted.
Never forget.
I don't think I've had one in a long time. It's been a while.
Over at Weird Neighbor Dave's.
Over at Weird Neighbor Dave's.
That was a good time. Well, all right. Hey, Bobby, why don't we tell people at home where more of Bobby's insights can come from when it comes to science, and
what
the name of that podcast is. Yeah, insides, where your insides are. Mm.
You can get my insides and my insights on the podcast that I do with my fabulous co-host, Maura. It's called All Around Science, and it's a fun podcast. We talk about science news from a sort of enthusiast perspective. We're not scientists, but we love science.
But you play one on TV, basically, is how it is.
Yeah, exactly. I play one on the airwaves.
On the podcasts.
Yeah. the last one we did that just came out, I guess, yesterday was... Actually, we replayed an episode of... We were guests on Rishi B's podcast.
Oh, very nice.
Is there a term for that where you like... You play another person's podcast on your feed. Anyway, that's what we did.
Feed jacking, or something like that. Probably.
Feed jacking. Say jacking. That'll be fine. No one will think that's weird.
So we did
Detractor,
some jacking with
websites.
Rishi, and it was about conspiracy thinking and what's the science of why people what causes conspiracy thinking and people to be conspiracy minded and everything.
Yeah, and they should stop doing that. Fun. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Go check it out. All Around Science, of course, everywhere podcasts can be found. Bobby Frankenberger, have a fantastic week, and I'm glad you're home and well and your hair remains long. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bobby.
All right. Well done, cool. Bobby. Brings us to the end of today's show. Now, a reminder, not a reminder, a little bit of news here. At the top of the hour, at 11 o'clock our time, myself and John Jagger will be doing a live watch of what this mobile Warcraft thing is. Nobody knows what it is, but they're doing an announcement video in a half an hour. So we're going to co-stream that and try to get our heads around what's going on there. John hates mobile gaming with a passion.
Really? Just any of it?
Oh, all of it. But John, you should hear him go off, dude. He hates mobile gaming. So he'll be perfect for this.
How can you hate all mobile gaming? It's like...
He hates it all. Truly. Truly hates
it. Wow.
Yeah, he played Pokemon Go for a while, but...
Like, basically, it's like, no, my phone is just for calling. Man.
You basically just quoted him. He has said those words before. Yeah, he's a huge curmudgeon.
Hold on. I'm unfriending him right now.
So we're going to...
Maybe his kid pictures are so darn cute.
His kid is... His boy is so cute. Alexander's adorable. Yeah. Anyway, so that'll be in about a half an hour. So watch for that coming up soon. In the meantime, hey, if you're not a patron yet, perfect month to jump in. May's here and it's time. Patreon.com/TMS. I want to give a huge thanks to everybody who is already there. You guys are amazing and you make it possible for us to do anything. So it means a lot. Please have your friends come and join the fun at patreon.com/TMS. If you're trying to track us down, submit song requests, a million other things, they're all over at frogpants.com/TMS. I think that's going to do it. Hey, Brian,
Before you get to the request, ANTP, we just posted a new set of contestant submissions. This is for the Tight Format News podcast, and the three teams have uploaded those to americasnexttoppodcaster.com, so you can check those out.
There you have it. All right, let's do a song. What do you got for me?
I've got something from Dawn Kwan. We love Dawn Kwan. She moved away back to Texas for a little bit, then came back to Denver.
Too many weird dolls showing up on the shore. She was like,
showing up on the coast. Back. Exactly. Don says, good morning, boys. We are flying from Denver to London, England tonight for our first real travel since the pandemic.
Wow.
This trip is built around two Bryan Adams concerts at the Royal Albert Hall. In celebration of travel and live music, will you please play Bryan's new song, So Happy It Hurts, from his latest album of the same name? It's an upbeat feel-good song, perfect to send us off to jolly old England. Thanks and cheerio, lads, Don and Tyler Kwan. Well, I can't do that. I can't play a brand new song from Bryan Adams. Number one, it's not a cover. Plus, it's probably there's going to be way more licensing hoops to deal with that. But she did offer a P.S. If you can't play a new song, any Bryan Adams cover will do. Well, there we go. That will do. So this is great. This came out on his 2014 all cover album called Tracks of My Years, where he played songs that influenced him as a kid growing up in 69 when he got his first real six string. This is a Beatles cover. It's Any Time at All. Here's Bryan Adams.
All right. We're going to play that now. We're going to be back tomorrow, and we got all kinds of content this week. So strap in. It's only Tuesday, everybody. Enjoy this song.
Anytime at all. Time at all you got to do is call, and I'll be there. If you need somebody to love, just look into my eyes. I'll be there to make you feel right. If you're feeling sorry and sad, I'd really sympathize. Don't you be sad, just call me tonight. Anytime at all. Anytime at all. Anytime at all. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there. If the sun has faded away, I tried to make it shine. There is nothing I won't do. When you need a shoulder to cry on, I hope it will be mine.
time at all. Anytime at all. Anytime at all. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there. Anytime at all. Anytime at all. Anytime at all. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there. Anytime at all. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
It can come back on me, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.